Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Internet Day Trader. And tonight we have a very special guest. Lance and I are joined by Grammy winner and international star, Randy Newman. Randy, I love your work. Short People is one of my favorite songs. You've had a long history of scoring films. And I'm really glad that you're here. I can't believe we've scored such an incredible musical coup.
And I'm happy to be here as well.
Actually, is Toy Story coming out on DVD or something? Is that why?
Well, I mean, so you're doing a sort of world promotion of all your work. Actually, you know, like, my favorite score was actually your work on Cop Rock, which is actually one of the most underappreciated series in recent history.
Wait, this man seems taller than I remember Randy Newman being.
Wait a minute. Do I have the wrong cue card? We have, like, can you turn our speakers down? Okay, actually, I'm sorry. We're getting Randy Newman next week. This week we have Andy Newman, and Andy Newman is the editor of this Pittsburgh City paper, and he's here to talk about his own work in the broadcast, print, and visual media.
And performance art.
And performance art. You've also done your own musical scores, and you're a psychic, if my card is correct. Is that true?
That is true.
Fantastic. So actually, I like to ask each of our guests a psychic question to sort of start out the show. And my question to you is, will these bleeding anal fissures that I have be resolved in time for Mardi Gras next year?
I think there's probably a good chance. I think if you keep drinking a lot of cranberry juice, I think you'll find they'll probably clear right up.
Now, is that? I mean, I have been drinking the urine of prostitutes that I pick up on Liberty Avenue who've drunk cranberry juice. Is that kind of the same thing?
I thought your doctor said French prostitutes only.
Well, you know, I mean. After the first, I mean, I did go to France a couple times on an e-saver, but I can't go there every weekend just to get some urine. I mean, it seems like, you know, even though I am highly compensated as a host of this show, there's only so much I can put on my expense account before the regulators crack down on us.
Well, I mean, Mardi Gras is almost a year away, and it's well known that you have the healing and recuperative powers of DC superhero Aquaman.
True.
So it seemed like it wouldn't take a psychic to predict that you'll be back in action.
As well as
after Fat Tuesday.
Only recently. I mean, I thought my powers were limited to communicating telepathically with only sea creatures, but in fact, I was at the pound the other day and I was being attacked by a vicious Doberman, and I was able to deflect his attack from me, and instead he attacked a group of Boy Scouts instead. And so actually, I appear to have the ability to control. Animals from any level of the animal kingdom, from sea creatures to invertebrates down to simple ones.
Well,
organisms.
You know, speaking of sea monkeys, I've always found it to be one of the great tragedies how many sea monkeys died unnecessarily, sea monkeys that should never have been born in the first place. Which brings me to what I'd like to talk about first, which is our guest Andy's work with Planned Parenthood.
Interesting.
So there's an event coming up that's being put on by Planned Parenthood.
Yes, it's actually a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. It is the second year that we've done this, and we're trying to do something that promotes safe sex and condoms. So what we've actually done is challenge the design community of Pittsburgh to design the quintessential Pittsburgh condom. Actually, the packaging for the condom. So it's not like we're asking people to do like certain shape latex or anything, but we're actually challenging people to create a package. And the name of the contest is naturally Stiff Competition. Actually, we did it last year as well. This year, it's Stiff Competition, the Second Coming. So,
how will you ever be able to top that next year?
I don't know. I mean, I was actually when I suggested to them last year, it was incredible to me that they actually went for it. In that they were actually doing it again this year is really just a testament to.
Well, I guess we're not all humorless feminists then.
No.
I mean, there's still plenty of space to explore in this kind of creative space that you've built. For example, next year could be Stiff Competition. You know, honey, I'm sorry, I have a headache, and you don't care about my needs anymore. You know,
I would have suggested Stiff Competition, Sloppy Seconds for this year's title, but clearly the religious overtones I think win the day.
So, anyway, I mean, so we did it last year. We're doing it this year. People actually design. Packaging for it, we end up framing the work, and we have a reception at the Warhol Museum.
So when you talk about design the packaging, they don't actually design the they don't actually engineer the latex cover.
No, it's basically
it's just a square piece of art that will be shrunk down to fit on the.
Right. Okay. It's really like a it's like the outside of a matchbook. It's mm-hmm. the three folds in which the condom is stable.
Okay.
You know how that works. You know, yeah. So that's exactly what it is.
How come we're not in on this?
Well, you can be. I mean, you know, if you've even a lot of people who do it are graphic designers, but the designs were kind of crude.
I assume you've been taking this. I mean, I assume you've gotten elementary level art classes involved in this as well.
Yes, we've taken it to the Catholic schools. yeah, exactly. I mean, people have been surprisingly good humored about it. You know, in fact, last year somebody did a. The one that won last year was the PennDOT condom. And it had an orange cone on the front of it, and underneath it said, "Don't let your little commuters make it to the Golden Triangle," which I thought was nice. And in fact, the spokesperson for the Department of Transportation, Dick Scringer, he's actually very funny.
You would think he would have been forced to acquire a sense of humor as a compensation mechanism for a child.
I mean, he did his debut in the Soap Pornos last year, right? In the porn movie starring Jenna Jameson,
and that was very humorous.
Yeah, that was called The Traffic Report. I think it was.
So PennDOT spokesman Dick Scringer.
I thought it was very funny. They called – the newspaper said, "What is your position on this?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "I don't know." And then he said, "Wait, I guess it would be missionary," which I thought was incredible.
Sure. I mean, I would have hoped that PennDOT people would have been a little more outre and said doggy style. But so what were the – so what were some examples of entries last year that were too – out there to win, but that sort of had captured the essence, the humorous essence of what you guys were really.
Well, it was juried. I mean, it's juried by like Tom Sokolowski from the Warhol, the director mm-hmm. of the Warhol Museum, and Steve Mendelsohn, and so.
Well,
I don't remember things.
Wrong with this.
I don't remember things that didn't win because they were too risque. Mm-hmm. So the second one was, I think the one that got second place was a pierogi condom, and then I think it's the tagline for it was something like, "Remember." It's in the filling. What's in the filling counts. Oh no! Here's the one that somebody did the Kennywoods Open condom. But I can't remember what the line was. But a lot of them were very funny. But I can't remember anything that was really
really crossed some sort of line.
Yeah, I mean, like, what line is there to cross? I mean, it's just a big dick joke. Like, how much farther over? Well, you guys, I'm sure could you guys would go
really,
over.
Really, when is the deadline for this contest?
It's not till May.
So there's time.
There's a theme. There's a sub-theme this year. Last year it was just that you could do anything for Pittsburgh. This year it's a Pittsburgh landmark.
Mm. Like Esther Trow.
Well, I would think the obvious choice would be the either the spiky sea urchinness of the PPG building or maybe the Cathedral of Learning.
Yeah, I think people will do that. I want to do of course, I can't do one because I am involved with it. But I thought a good one would be the Duquesne Incline con.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be something like put it on before you go up or go down, or put it on before you mount Washington.
You could even, I mean, I'm sure you could even work Washington's Landing in there somehow. So if our callers have any ideas they'd like to propose, if our listeners have any ideas they'd like to suggest, we should remind you that the phone number here is 621-9728. Or if you're too poor to go to Florida and attempt to have some teenage drunken fumbling sex for spring break.
Or you're just down on the balcony and you're...
Isn't that redundant?
I think so. The number here on the CMU campus is 89728.
My producer telepathically telling me to stay focused on the microphone. None of this head turning.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. So my question is this Planned Parenthood thing? Is this contest? It seems a little bit heterodoxic to me. I mean, if I wanted to like depict, you know, three gay men having, you know, some kind of like, and a sailor having sex on the piers. As my condom cover, would that be accepted, or does it have to have some kind of...
Yeah, that's interesting. Theme? I mean, you know...
Interesting.
Well, it doesn't strike me as very witty. I would expect better.
Yeah, well, if it were funny...
be a talking dog.
But I think... I could see an argument... No, I don't know. I mean, a lot of them have just been... I haven't seen that generally it's been heteronormative or not. I mean, a lot of them are just...
Did you just say heteronormative?
Yeah,
that's a fantastic word. In fact, remind me from now on, my name's going to be DJ Heteronormative.
So, okay. I don't.
Heteronormative.
The answer from last year was
heteronormative.
There weren't any that were exclusively that seemed like they were consciously. Like gay themed, but there weren't all that many that were hetero themed.
Well,
except for that PennDOT one. When you think about it, yeah. Don't let your commuters get to the Golden Triangle. That's
clearly a birth control message and not a safe sex message.
Well, what feature of the female anatomy is the Golden Triangle? The vulva?
I've always thought.
The pubic hair is sort of triangular shaped.
Exactly. That's what I always.
You mean sort of the exterior genitalia.
Yeah, you may not know this.
Hey, I did go to the Highway Playground, but all of the strippers that had shaved.
They have mohawks. Kind of hell, yeah. That's what strippers call them.
Mohawks.
You never heard that? We had a woman who's stripped in Pittsburgh writes for us, and she did as a cover story a diary of it, and that was the first time she danced. That was. One of the instructions that she got from a fellow dancer was that she needed to get a quote unquote mohawk.
Wow. So was there a shameful first dance where she was didn't have the proper vaginal haircut and was like mocked by the customers and didn't get any money or?
I don't remember. I don't no. I mean, she continued to do it. Obviously,
I believe like. There's a local chain of, I mean, Philip Pelosi, I think, does vaginal mohawks at any of their stores. Isn't that true? Or am I remembering? Am I confusing them with some other
stuff? No, you're confusing them with supercuts.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, clearly, doesn't your vast past as a male stripper, I mean, isn't there something similar in the male stripping tradition?
Well,
Or is that just called the Groucho?
Actually, with my own pubic hair during my stripping days, I actually did a bas relief map of Walt Disney, and that was very popular with my...
Certainly more popular than when you did the bas relief of Bosnia as a protest against the war crimes.
Well, right, but then I got in trouble with my pimp because there's this problem. You don't want to get too political because the customers get turned off by that.
I thought your pimp was Serbian. I thought that was the problem. But anyways, we digress from a...
Have you had Sophie Massoff on the show? I keep thinking, like, that she would fit right in here.
Who is Sophie Massoff?
Mayor Sophie Massoff?
Yeah, the former...
We'd be delighted, Sophie.
Like, Sophie,
if you're listening, give us a call.
I'm sure she is. She's sort of a... She must be pushing 80 or so now. She's a nice old Jewish lady.
It sounds to me like she'd fit right in. So, Sophie, if you're listening... Or if anyone knows Sophie.
Yeah, if you're one of Sophie's people.
I mean, so at this point, Sophie's probably, like, wandering around in the alley, like, eating food out of garbage cans, right? I mean, is she still, like... I mean, as far as I know, she's not a...
Wait, is she still the mayor, or is she...
Well, the thing is after you're mayor... No, you have the title of mayor forever.
Oh, okay.
Mm. I mean, she's not, she has no cachet, except, like, in the Democratic Party or something, but... You do. You are like mayor for. You do always get to carry that title. I don't know why.
Just like Gamp Thin in the S&M world, right?
Yeah.
Or sex talk show host.
Indeed. I'm not up on. You know, I'm not. I don't vote here. I'm not a legal resident of Pittsburgh. So you'll have to forgive my atrocious local knowledge.
Actually, I have no idea who the mayor is.
Are you kidding?
It's Giuliani. No. Actually, I can't remember where I'm at.
God, you know, in a way, I'm surprised, and in a way, I'm sort of envious of that. I wish that I didn't know who the mayor
was. If the mayor were having sex, we'd know.
As would he, I'm sure.
I mean, I do remember Sophie's whole story. I mean, she actually, sort of graduated to the role after what's his name died, right? I mean, she was never elected mayor, at least not initially.
Was she the vice mayor for a while, or deputy mayor?
You know, that's a good question. That all proceeds me as well. You're asking if she was in because Caligari died and she was the president of
City Council. Maybe one of our callers can clarify this. I mean, I thought that's what would happen because she was kind of a – I mean, she was. I always thought that she was kind of a strange person, and it was surprising that she was elected mayor.
And so it came as no surprise that it was by some sort of wacky – pratfall like coincidence that she actually became mayor the first time.
and then at the next election, the choice was either to reelect her or vote for a Republican mayor, and that would never happen.
Yeah.
But I think somebody's going to correct our political insipidity.
That could be Mayor Tom Murphy now.
Tom Murphy.
That name flows like honey off of our lips, doesn't it? So, I'm ashamed that we have not come up with a good entry for the contest yet, and I think we'll have to make each and every one of our guests who comes on the show after this, who will all be psychic, of course, try to predict what our winning entry will be.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to not participate in the rest of the show, and I'm going to be putting my thinking cap on and thinking about what my entry should be. Does it have to be like 1 inch square or
Pittsburgh,
whatever? I mean, of course, the condoms that I buy are 2 inches in diameter.
Yeah, but they...
Are those horse
condoms? Actual dimensions of the final product will be 2 inches by 2 inches. But you can exaggerate in your submission. Well, don't we all? But you can exaggerate in your submission not to exceed 24 inches by 24 inches. So people actually design these things, you know, like in Quark or whatever, and then do color outputs.
Oh, okay.
And they put them under glass and frame them.
We actually had a caller call in to correct you on your Sophie Maslow history and say that she was never officially elected. She only was promoted to the office because of Caligari's death.
Wow, very good.
Was that a correction or a confirmation?
No, you were right.
A validation, I suppose.
Oh, thank you. So she never faced an election at all?
Apparently not, no.
Interesting.
Although Tom Murphy, I believe, is the mayor now, in case you were...
Yes, I did. I do. God help me. I do know that Mayor Tom Murphy
is
the mayor.
Ms. Maslow was never elected. Just increases my desire to have her on as a guest.
She's a wonderful personality. She's very distinct.
She was on show What Do You Know was taped here a few years ago. She went on and was very funny.
Well, I think she's a natural then. Let's get on it.
I told you to get Cher last week, and that didn't work out. I mean, what makes you think you can get Maslow?
Dude, her nuclear power source ran down. It's not my fault. And I think she was at the, like, she was back in the shop for the Oscars. So is there? I mean, you've told us so much about the stiff competition already. Is there more that you think? So what's it like working behind the scenes? Is it enjoyable?
Behind the scenes of
the stiff competition of putting it all together, like that.
Oh well, I only I'm only on this committee I'm only on a committee. I mean, I had. I had suggested it originally, but now I'm just one of the people that sort of talks about how it's going to happen and how the event's going to happen and how we're going to judge it and stuff. But I found the experience generally to be sort of surreal. I mean, at first I was surprised that people were receptive to it. And then the sort of a lot of the women who are on this board, and a lot of the people that are in Planned Parenthood generally are not necessarily, really risque or lefty. And a lot of, like, the blue hairs in Planned Parenthood won't come to this event, and they're boycotting it to some degree. And even though we have an event around it, and it's that there are a lot of, like, people in pearls there, the society pages won't cover it.
Wait, the people,
either the Trib or the...
I have a question. The people that are involved with Planned Parenthood but don't want to come to the competition, what do they think Planned Parenthood is about? Or does this just seem a little too in off color for them?
Yeah, they think it's tacky.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think there are people that just think, you know, Planned Parenthood should, in the spirit of Roe v. Wade, assure that a woman, you know, has a right to choose. And, I mean, frankly, that's a lot of the reasons why I'm involved in Planned Parenthood as well. But I feel like there should be some... I feel like one of the reasons I suggested this and got involved with them is that, you know, the safe sex message of Planned Parenthood is really important, and there's a certain demographic to which this sense of irreverence that this competition, that this thing is about, who it speaks to. And to the credit of the people that are running Planned Parenthood here, they've just decided that this event, because we end up having an event at the Warhol Museum, a ton of people come, and all sorts of people they don't usually have exposure to come, so they're kind of into it. And at least for this event, they're fine that a couple, if a few people get their undies in a bunch about it, it's not, they don't care.
Well, we're irreverent. Maybe we should.
I was actually, I would like to go, but I find it a little erecto normative in the sense that you seem to be celebrating the erect penis, and that marginalizes both people who have erectile difficulty and also women who have no penis.
Did you read this piece, and you probably already talked about it on the show, did you read this Jack Hitz piece in the New York Times Magazine a few weeks ago?
Normally I read almost everything that's committed to paper, but I might have missed that.
But I'm not talking about an obscure thing. The Sunday New York Times Magazine, like a month ago, Jack Kane had a piece about developing...
I skip right to the snuff porn section.
Developing...
Section X of the New York Times.
Developing Viagra for women, and it was actually really... They talked about... a lot of the article was about why it's been slower to...
So what's the functionality with women that the Viagra brings, that the Viagra for women, or VFW, is going to bring to them?
The VFW is something else.
Not on this show.
What do you mean functionality?
Well, right, with men, it's clear, like, either the penis is erect and ready to march, or it's not and completely useless for sexual purposes, right? For women, right, what's the equivalent functionality? Is it the lubrication issue? Is it...
And I want to make a distinction here.
No, it's being able to, I don't know, I think it's partly lubrication, but I think it also is just coming. And the thing is...
So it's not, I mean, it's not really playing the same role that Viagra is.
Exactly. And that was the point that he made in the article. It's that, because it's in one of those typical sort of, it's a man's world thing. Like, Viagra for men ends up actually improving your pleasure and letting you be able to have both duration and repetition. Mm-hmm. And for women, it just allows the men to get out of foreplay.
Well, I mean, a world with more options is clearly a better world.
But you know what? You see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You have to forget the idea of sex between a man and woman still somewhat frightens and confuses him. So, we have a news story here that I think you'll want to hear.
Look, I mean, if you're talking about the thing with me and the women from the highway playground, the charges were dropped. I paid my fine. I mean, that's all off the record at this point. I'm allowed to.
Wait, I thought the charges were leveled against them.
Wait, did you see the piece in the Post Gazette? I think it was about a week
ago.
Stop
implying that I read your newspaper.
No, it wasn't my paper. There's a piece in the Post Gazette about it was an undercover bust. It wasn't at the highway playground. It was another place. And a couple cops went there and busted this. And they had some of the women who were dancing on stage. They were being busted as well. And the... apparently the courtroom just ended up going crazy. Everybody was either hysterically laughing or upset.
Like spring break. Woo, crazy.
What happened was one guy claimed this one guy in the courtroom's...
The DA and the judge were doing the elephant walk, and they were playing Eat the Biscuit. Isn't that right?
Oh, this somehow they managed to report this in the Post-Gazette, which I thought was amazing because they're very buttoned up, but it was a fact, and they managed to do it in but the claim that this guy has is that the women said that they would have give him a blowjob or however they put it in the paper for $100. That they both would. And apparently the women
charged me $250.
Exactly. The women started laughing.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a diploma from the Sorbonne.
The women started laughing at the suggestion that I guess they would do it so cheaply. That's sort of
what. So what was the going rate then?
They didn't. That wasn't established, but apparently it's with inflation and all.
Well, perhaps the city paper itself can help us clear up some of these pricing issues. I have to read this news story. Ads promising sex proliferate in the city paper.
But read the date of it.
Wednesday, June 10th, 1998. I mean, a golden age. prosecutors contend that city police officer – so I should make it clear to our audience that this is not a current story. This is an old – this happened almost 2 years ago. Prosecutors contend that city police officer Rhonda Burns, arrested Monday on prostitution charges, sold herself in the Pittsburgh City Paper's adult classifieds as a, and I quote, lunchtime treat. But that advertisement wasn't the only one apparently selling sex. A full page of adult service ads featured a few breakfast treats, dinner treats, and after-hours snacks as well.
Those weren't in direct quotes. That was
No. Okay. That was a little bit of tacky ad-libbing by the staff writer from the Post-Gazette.
Who wrote that?
Are we allowed to name names?
Of course.
David Daddio?
You named Rhonda Burns.
That's got David Daddio. That's got to be an alias. The adult classified section in the June 3 to 10 edition of the weekly paper is littered with advertisements for erotic escort services. It seems like he was a little excited when he was writing this. Featuring detailed descriptions of the escorts and their specialties. When called, the advertisers candidly explain their services, ranging from, quote, sensual mutual massages, unquote, to, quote, complete sexual domination for weak and submissive men, unquote. In several cases, calling the phone numbers led to explicit offers for sex. A woman who called herself Dolly wasted no time quoting exact prices for a wide range of sexual acts and even named a particular motel in McKeesport where she would perform those acts for roughly $100 per hour. So right there, we've got a baseline price, right? Because clearly, a blowjob could be had in an hour, right?
Well, that's right. So it would suggest that if you do a blowjob in 15 minutes, it should be cheaper. It should be like
probably the billing increments are full hour, though, I would imagine. But just like, you know, those pricey long distance services.
Who are these people that have an extra? I mean, I don't have an extra 100. I mean, if I want a blowjob, are these all rich men that like would? I mean,
they could be sex addicts. I don't know. We'll ask the editor of the newspaper in a minute. Another ad titled Man to Man simply offered complete body massage. But when called, the man said he performed full-service massages, which he claimed went fully beyond the norm and would leave the customer fully satisfied. A third ad, which simply featured three women's names and a telephone number, offered sex for $160 per hour. Even after learning of the illegal activities of the advertisers, City Paper editor Andy Newman said he was not very concerned about the specific content of the adult classified ads.
Wait a minute. Is that just a coincidence? That person has the same name you do. Wait, did I say that?
Well, that's what you're quoted in the Pittsburgh Post.
No, I guess I did. I do remember that. I think I did get a correction or something for that, but I can't remember.
Well, you'll have your chance to correct it all you want on
there. Okay. What was the quote again?
Well, this is a paraphrase. Andy Newman said he was not very concerned about...
And then I have a direct quote.
Yes.
Doing that. Okay.
Was not very concerned about the specific content of the adult classified ads.
Mm.
And then, quote, I've personally never been a great barometer for community standards, Newman said. My personal feeling about anybody who advertises in the paper is just, who cares? These are not big ad agency buys. They walk in off the street selling whatever it is they're selling, unquote.
Huh. Yeah, that's not, yeah.
Just to end the story, the city paper's competing area weekly in Pittsburgh displayed some of the same erotic ads as the city paper. The number of ads was substantially smaller, however, and the advertisers contacted said their services did not include explicit sexual acts. So the first conclusion from this is that the city paper is now the official weekly newspaper of the show, I would think.
Oh, definitely.
If they're the only paper willing, like, gutsy enough to include explicit sexual ads.
I don't think. I mean, I think, like... And again, I mean, I don't look at these ads as it's. I mean, it should be made clear that I'm the editor, not the publisher of the paper. So, any policies or parameters for what ads are in the paper. It's not my purview. Mm-hmm.
Was Mrs. Pinchon still your publisher? Is
that
Lou Grant reference.
I don't think that our ads. There are smut ads in the Post Gazette and in the Yellow Pages and in the other alternative. So I mean, we may have more, but we have more ads generally than the other alternative does.
Before Lenz asks the question he's about to ask, I'd like to turn this question around and ask, as a consumer, if I actually pick up the city paper and I want to have like a really fabulous blowjob, how can I tell which ads are offering just, you know, literal escort services and which ones are going to leave me completely satisfied? I mean, I think the language it's the fact that the language is so vague that this is introducing both confusion for the consumer and possibly deleterious effects to the economy as a whole.
Can I make a suggestion? Why doesn't this show offer a seal of approval?
I think it's a fantastic idea. So if Officer Burns would like to stop by.
Yeah, how come we haven't had Officer Burns on the show?
That would be interesting. I mean, I think you should try to get Officer her on. She's not a police officer anymore.
Oh, she's not. I was going to say, that was no reflection on the fine, brave young men and women who...
Well, I mean, the thing is,
every single day.
She was... The reason she got caught was she was in the squad room at the cop shop. She was setting up her appointments.
Did she have like a little pager that would go off and she immediately started applying lip balm?
And it wasn't her pager that would go off. It was.
I know what you mean.
She was on her cell phone.
Okay.
She's no longer there.
Well, but they didn't make her stop being a prostitute, did they?
I mean, that's what I said. Well, that's what my friend Mike Vargo said, that it's a sorry state for our economy when a prostitute has to augment her income by becoming a police officer.
Well, hopefully the internet boom has taken us out of the slump, even here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, actually, with just a little work, this could be a really fantastic TV movie. I mean, if Miss Burns had two personalities like Sybil, I mean, it could actually, or maybe if she were beamed into an alien spaceship and split into her two halves to sort of. Help me out here.
The cop half and the whore half.
I'm imagining, and you get like a pair of famous actress twins, like the Olsen twins, to play, and then they could actually forming separately. The two parts of her identity could actually battle it out.
Yes, the key moment could come when the cop busted the prostitute.
Exactly.
You need a lot of money for writing treatments for movies and movie of the weeks and stuff.
Oh,
I mean, I know writers who have done that. I've actually never tried to do it. This would have been a keeper, though.
I have a friend who, when her novel was optioned, was intoxicated with the lure of Hollywood and decided to just write screenplays to be optioned to eke out a living.
Well, I did a treatment of a two-part Quincy episode that was actually.
I'm guessing it was the one with the horrors.
Well, it was actually starring a sex talk show host who was also an elite athlete and international Latin superstar, but he was found dead, accidentally drowned. But Quincy found out that he had salt water in his lungs, so he couldn't have drowned in a freshwater lake, and that's what got him on the case. And then there was a team of 14 illegal elves that were working in this country illegally, who had actually.
They made you change their workplace from a dildo factory to a toy factory, though, didn't they?
Right, and at that point I got disgusted with Hollywood and decided that I wanted to become a computer scientist.
I mean, I have to say I do respect your integrity. So does this happen a lot? I mean, is this the only recorded case of a cop being busted for prostitution in Pittsburgh? Or?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't remember how the... I don't remember how the case... turned out, like how she pled. But yeah, God, I would think so. Mm.
What's the? I mean, since DJ manic day trader, internet day trader, and I've clearly betrayed our ignorance of local political issues.
DJ heteronormative.
DJ heteronormative. So what's the enforcement like for prostitution in Pittsburgh like? Do the cops like regularly crack down? Is it only when the blue hairs get irritated?
I think that the same problem with policing prostitution in the city is the same problem of law enforcement everywhere, and that is that the prostitution laws are selectively enforced, so that prostitutes are a lot more likely to get busted in Garfield than they are going into the DoubleTree Hotel. And there's very – I can't recall
Where's Garfield?
Well, Garfield is near East Liberty and near Bloomfield. It's like the Penn Avenue sort of section near Bloomfield. You see there it's fairly common for prostitutes to get busted in certain neighborhoods in the city, but I have no recollection, and I read the paper every day of a prostitute getting busted coming out of the DoubleTree or the Hilton or one of the nice hotels in the city. The other thing that's interesting, and I wrote a column about this a couple years ago, is there's a tendency, the prostitutes and the Johns both get busted, and the prostitutes get named, and the Johns don't get named because they don't want to cause embarrassment to their family, which is an incredible double standard. You know, it's like the prostitutes don't have families. You know, like it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the families were pre-embarrassed because they're the families, the prostitutes, that is. Clearly, though, it's a
pre-embarrassed. I don't know what does that mean?
If the family knows that the woman's a prostitute, right? Like, I mean, you know, clearly prostitutes have families, and clearly it is a double standard. There's no question. So let me ask a question that has to be near and dear to the heart for this show. Is there a double standard for enforcement of gay prostitution? Or does that just not come out much?
Well, I mean, one of the evergreen stories in the city and around Sweeps Week on different of the TV stations, they'll do a story on the Schenley Park, the Fruit Loop, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, that's always a weird story because they don't really get it, and so to speak. And
Well, that's not really prostitution as much as free, right? Mostly.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a lot on. I haven't seen much that I've noticed on gay prostitution in the city.
Well, prostitutes, straight or gay, feel free to give us a call here at 621-9728 and straighten us out,
so to speak.
Or not. The choice is yours. No, I have a feeling we should appoint you as our. Just the news stories you've pulled out of thin air that are sexually relevant in the show, sort of surprising.
I was going to agree with you. In fact, I think we should name you. Well, you should become our news correspondent. We should also call you Peanut because you're our sort of savvy street urchin with no kind of address who comes in and gives us the lowdown on what's really happening.
Wanted to call him the Eye in the Sky.
Well, or the peanut. The eye and the peanut.
I like the peanut. I have no idea what the allusion is to it.
Because you're a savvy street urchin. You know.
Just like Charlie Brown. That was Linus.
I mean, because imagine in any kind of imagine some kind of like standard post-apocalyptic movie where people are basically grouped in gangs and they're going around together, and every gang has a group of four or five people that have a complementary set of skills. Like, you know, in our group, I would be the kind of clan elder, if you will, and I would have mystical ninja powers, and I would be good with explosives, and I could actually...
Don't forget the ability to telepathically control animals.
That as well, and I have a facility with weapons. And you would be the savvy street urchin who would be like, you know, kind of like creeping around the alleys in the city and, like, watching what's going down and collecting a bunch of information and, like, barely escaping. Like, you know, all kinds of mean guys would be chasing after you and you would, like, escape from their clutches.
Like, just like Short Round and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Just like what?
Short Round and Indiana Jones and the Temple
Short Round?
Don't you remember the savvy street urchin sidekick of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
So apparently it's relatively paradigmatic. And of course, Lance would well...
Yeah, it's hard to think of a power for me, isn't it?
Lance would be sort of the Dr. Smith character, though. Always...
So I'd have the power to make people uncomfortable in my presence, is that what you're So we should get back to the ads in the city paper. Are there actually smut ads in the Post Gazette? What section do they appear in?
Probably sports.
Mm. Ah, that's right.
That's where. I mean, you can cut the testosterone with a knife in that section, really.
Mm. I mean,
no Viagra for women ads there.
No what?
Viagra for women ads there.
So your Viagra story confused me, actually, because there are women... You were talking about some kind of Viagra-like pill for women, but I just heard there are women taking Viagra for some kind of fertility.
Yeah, I think that women are taking Viagra.
I mean, not just for...
But I can't even pronounce it.
Well, Lance screwed us up by saying Viagra rather than Viagra.
Do you think that... have you heard that Viagra's, like, big in the... in the rave scene, the kids are like eating Viagra at raves and
just walking with hard-ons all night.
Well, I mean, I think this whole like rave culture is everybody dances all night and then crashes in the morning, and now they don't exactly crash in the morning.
what do they do? They just
is there some kind of interesting side effect to Viagra other than erectile activation that I don't know about? Does it, like, make you happier? I mean, I'm aware of some kind of, like, mild side effects, like, you know, visual disturbances and dry mouth. But, like, I mean, does it actually pep you up and...
Well, that's sort of like, I mean, the traditional rave culture drug has been ecstasy, right? And dry mouth and visual disturbances, you know, match that.
You know, I can't remember. I don't know that... I mean, like I said, I just read that piece. I don't remember them. They're writing about any of the side effects per se.
Why can't we have a rave kid as an official mascot of the show? Kind of maybe set up a little cage in there and have him dancing.
We have two young undergrads who are almost rave kids on all the time, right?
But they're not really they're not raving. I mean,
I'm sure if you fed them the proper substances, they'd be happy to rave on the show. They've offered to come over and like act in a porn movie for you, given the right substances. DJ heteronormative. but as far as the ads go, did this lead to a big crackdown on the city paper? Did you say no more hookers in the ads?
Well, we've always had, as far as I understand it, and again, this is the other side. There is, as you know, sort of a church-state issue in newspapers that the editorial acts independent of the business side, and the trade-off is that we don't really dictate how the business side operates. And that's certainly the case here. But as I understand the policy to be about advertisements, adult classified ads and otherwise, there are no advertisements for sex on there. And there is not a way – and by the way, I mean, if you look at any urban alternative newspaper in the country, you'll see ads mm-hmm. like this. So it's not like I don't think that that we've sort of cornered the market, that so to speak.
Don't get us wrong. We're not attacking you. We're pro.
Right. I know. But I don't want to – but I don't – I mean, not just because I'm being careful, but because I'm being honest. I don't want to have this sort of tacit acknowledgement that we're out selling what we didn't know to be that we're encouraging or condoning prostitutes to advertise in the paper. Because I mean, we're not doing it.
So there's a line. For example, somebody said young men needed for a gay Nazi snuff film. Somebody would see that and say that's inappropriate, right?
Yeah, the Nazism stuff is just...
But the stuff part's okay.
Well, we have some standards.
I'm confused by this. I mean, what if I were making a Nazi porn film? I mean, if I had an ad that was young men needed for a Nazi porn film, would you run that ad? I mean, if it was an entirely legal act, I was making a movie about a Nazi porn movie. I mean, do you actually apply standards of taste to your ads, or only standards of like legality?
I don't know. There's some stuff they won't take, I think. I mean, you have to look at the ads. I mean, I don't look at them enough. Every once in a while, something comes in and somebody shows it to me. And I mean, some of it is not, you know, my cup of tea.
Do you guys get like 20% discount because you're affiliated with the paper?
Well, I mean, you get to see the ads first. It's just like it's just like the real estate ad, so you can get the jump on something.
Wow.
You know, the thing is with these is somebody told me that I don't want to suggest anybody does this, but somebody, a woman told me that she had – her boyfriend had cheated on her. In fact, we did a romantic revenge issue recently. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get this woman to try to write this story for me, but I didn't want to encourage this – people to do this, but she had to get back at her boyfriend for cheating on her with this woman, went and took out a personal ad with this woman's phone number in it that said something like,
"Come and get it, boys."
It was something to that effect, but she also describes has the woman describe herself in a somewhat disparaging way, like a large-butted woman, you know, who'll do this or that. And, you know, then the woman gets – and then she pays for the ad in cash, so there's no tracing her. And this woman who has cheated on with this woman's then ex-boyfriend ends up getting all these calls from these horn dogs wanting to –
I don't know. That's got to be illegal, though, at some level, right?
Yes, if you could illegal. Yeah, I mean, I suppose in some way it could be illegal because
it's got to be some sort of harassment.
Yeah, harassment or maybe slander. Yeah.
Well, the woman could actually have a really large butt. I mean, like, it's not, you know, it didn't have to be slanderous, right?
If the woman were actually large butted,
yeah.
That's
could
an interesting
sort of cinema verite. Then
that's an interesting question. I don't know.
Well, you for a period of about 6 months, Lance was feeding me eclairs and hot dogs in an effort to build up my own ass because you're really attracted to him. A man with a big ass. Isn't that true?
True. Hot dogs were the wrong way to go, though. It should have been. I know now. It should have been veal.
Milk-fed feel?
Yeah. Well, optimally, but I'm not sure. That might have strained my budget. So you've been involved in the newspaper business for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever written stories that had direct sexual content? Have you enjoyed doing that? Is that... Working at the city paper, I imagine it's not sort of hard-hitting exposé. And you're an editor now, so you're not out beating the streets, right?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, as I told you, When I was first doing this almost 10 years ago in Maine, there was proposed legislation to change the massage laws in the state because massage therapists were pissed off that people that were giving full body massages, like erotic massages, were advertising next to them in the phone book, and they were, I can't even remember exactly what the news context of it was, but they were pretty bummed out. And
I mean, won't all massage therapists finish you off if you ask for that?
Oh, man. People would be so bummed out. Some of the people in the touch professions would be, isn't that what they're
profession.
Called? I think they're called the healing professions, but I think it's called the touch.
That's a good name for it.
Yeah, they'd be bummed out to hear that because they don't. I mean, in fact, so I did this story and I went to a legitimate massage therapist and asked her about that. Because sometimes that a woman like or a person can be giving somebody a therapeutic massage, and men will have a distinct reaction to that.
Talking about hives or.
So, and she said that she would acknowledge it because sometimes, I mean, you have to acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it like wave to it or acknowledge it like pour the lotion and go to work.
She would say, and go to work. She would say that, she would say, you know, that's a common reaction to getting a massage, and we're not going to do anything about that. I mean, not that men would necessarily want her to.
Ah, yeah. Well, you think the man would be, if he just wanted a massage, the man would be mortified, right?
I would be embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the other hand, I mean, a lot of men, especially more primitive societies, greet each other by displaying a full erection. It's a sign of. I mean, when you were auditioning for the show, and we had decided who was going to be the host and who was going to be the co-host, it was by the aggressive display of our erections that we.
See, but you cheated because you had like nude gay male. You had like nude gay male ravers waiting around. Right?
Is that what's called? Is that like what's called presenting in the animal kingdom? <Yeah. laughs> That's different.
I think what I was presenting is when you
actually turn your arse to somebody.
Right, I think so.
Yeah. And you become receptive.
Yeah, it's a show of submission or something.
Well, so
wait, you made me do that too, though.
Right. Well, you presented. I mean, I started throwing feces, and then Lance presented himself, and then it was cool.
I don't know what I was thinking.
The hierarchy.
I thought my wit would get me the job.
Are these catches scotch guarded? I mean, that's what this is all.
Functionally, they're scotch guarded now. So you wanted to go in and write the hard hitting news story about from the masseuses.
I did a compare and contrast. I went to a legitimate massage therapist, and then I went to a place called Chrysalis, I think it was called, and I went there incognito. I called from down the street. I got $100 from the $100 from the kitty. Out of work, and I just went in to see what would happen.
And what happened?
Well, I called because I didn't really know what I was going to get. Mm-hmm. So I called and just said I wanted to make an appointment, and they said, well, what did you want? Mm. You know, what were you interested in? And so they gave me a bunch of... She told me several things.
Did they have weird names like the Spanish butterfly, or were they...
Well, she said, she went through a whole list of things, and I naturally wanted to get whatever would be the most, you know, the claim from these places was that they did not give hand jobs there. So that was the whole question about whether...
The claim was they didn't?
They didn't. Okay. And there was a loophole in the law. Somehow, sexual contact was prohibited by the law, but they did not explicitly in the law define hand to genital contact as sexual contact. So there was a loophole. So anyway, the woman went through the list, and yet they still claim they didn't do it. The woman went through the list of things to do, and you know, one of them was the bubble bath surprise. So I said, you know, that sounds good. I think the bubble bath surprise, I think it was, maybe $75 or something. No, it was like $60 maybe.
That's a lot of money. I mean, even accounting for like $5 for the bubble bath, right? That's still
that was
like 10, $60.
And that was 10 years ago too. Old Orchard Beach, Maine. So, I proceeded to go there and, got the bubble bath surprise.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at the end.
Clearly, you should have seen it coming well before the end, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, DJ Heteronormative does that sort of thing every week. Can he write about it, too, for the Pittsburgh City Paper?
I didn't write this for the City Paper. This was back when I was first writing at a paper in Portland, Maine.
I'm a little, I mean... I don't know what your agenda is here, but I was a little confused by that story. I mean, it seemed like you were at this massage parlor. You signed up for the bubble bath surprise. I was pretty clear on all that. But then we kind of glossed over what the bubble bath and the surprise actually was. It seems
so.
First
I get led into a room, and then a woman draws a bath.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not with, like, pastels, but she fills a bathtub. And she gives you a bath. It was really infantilizing, actually. So the woman actually...
Infantilizing?
Yeah, it's like you're a baby.
Yeah.
So the woman gives you...
Infant normative, in other words.
So she gives you a bath, and then you get out of the bath, and this is the only moment really worth describing. This is just sort of, this is actually really embarrassing, even after all these years. So you get out of the bath, and a woman, like, towels you off, like you're a child. And then as she's toweling me off, and she's sort of squatting down, and she...
Is she dressed, or is she...
She's wearing a negligee.
Like a fetish... Oh, not like a fetish nurse outfit.
No, she's wearing a negligee. And she blows, like exhales. And she says... Those are the only kinds of blowjobs we give here. And then she just laughs. But then you proceed to go into this. But then you actually...
Have you guys been completely silent up to that point? Is that the only dialogue you exchange?
It's like Mammoth.
It's like a scene from the cutting room of some Bergman movie.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So then, to make a long story short, you end up going and getting a massage and...
isn't that all about making a short story long?
Yeah. And then, you know, and then soon I'm driving home, replenishing fluids.
So the bubble bath surprise, I mean, the surprise is that you paid $75 and didn't get a blowjob. Is that the surprise?
No, hand job.
You didn't get a hand job either?
No, you did get that.
Did he mention that?
No.
No, he was trying to coyly imply it, but I realize it's official show policy that we have to verbally
display
the money shot.
We get a massage after, then you go in, and you lay on a massage table and get massaged, like, regularly on the back and then the front. And then
do you think you could walk in and say, like, I want the bubble bath surprise, but no bubble bath?
See, just let me get the order of events here. There's a bubble bath. You got toweled off like a child. She blew on your penis, presumably. Then there was the massage on the table.
Yeah, then in another room, we went and got a massage, the regular massage on the back.
Did the hand drop happen after the massage or after the blow?
Those two options are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, after both.
Oh, okay.
Whew. So, well, we should ask, I mean, so what are the odds of a DJ heteronormative starting to write his own sex con for the C paper then?
Or I think I should open a massage clinic here in the studio during our show. Well, that'd be great.
We could put ads in the city paper.
You could have one of those barrels that people where they could take baths right in it, like in Body Heat. That could just be set up in...
Oh, I see. I
think you don't need running water, that you could actually... I mean, one of those plastic mailboxes, I think you could...
Maybe so. What are you signaling me? I think we're actually out of time. I need to remind our listeners this is WRCT Pittsburgh. I want to thank Andy Newman for being on the show. You've been delightful.
Thanks for this.
Make sure if you're a graphic designer out there or if you're a kid with crayons, make sure to enter the Stiff Competition Contest.
Check us out on the web, sextalk.wrct.org. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for...
Actually, I think it's dead air now because it's spring break.
Show.
No, she's shaking her head no. Yes?
No, there's...
Oh, Andrew's doing his regular show. So enjoy and...
Good night.